Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for The Christophers, and today author Gary Janson will join me to talk about his book, Microshifts, Transforming Your Life One Step at a Time. We'll be chatting about the ways that our faith and our spiritual lives can guide that transformation and lead us closer to God. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and my guest today is author Gary Janson. As an admirer of St. Ignatius, Gary has spent much of his life searching for God in all things. That's why the books which Gary has written, or the ones he's published in his work as an editor, have a spiritual bent. He was on the show a while back talking about one of those books called Life Everlasting, Catholic Devotions for the Everyday Seeker. And today he's back to discuss his latest work about changing your life for the better in ways that will actually last. This book is called Microshifts, Transforming Your Life One Step at a Time. Joining me now to talk about it, I'm pleased to welcome back to Christopher Close-Up, Gary Janson. Gary, it's great to have you back on the show today.
Hey, Tony. Thanks for having me on.
Now, this book, Microshifts, it starts off with you giving a pep talk of sorts about embracing our uniqueness and loving ourselves. Why was it important for you to kick off the book in that way?
I wrote this book for a general audience, but I really wrote this book for my two sons.
Okay.
Right? And I wanted to, that was kind of the impetus behind this. I kind of wanted to create something, a book of life lessons that I could leave behind, because it may sound strange, but last year I just felt like, what if I'm not here tomorrow? What if I'm not here, next year? Mm-hmm. I wanted to leave behind a legacy for my kids. And so that really is this kind of pep talk that's directed to my kids, but at the same time, it's directed to everybody. And it's really about the uniqueness of life, that of the 7 billion plus people in the world, there's only one you. There's only one Tony,
yes.
Right? There's only one.
One Gary.
Only one Ed. Yeah, one Gary, right? And we all have, there's all. And when you think about that, you're 1 in 7 billion. You have more. The odds are greater for you to win Powerball mm-hmm. than it is for you to be who you are,
yes.
Right? And there's something very, very beautiful about that. And so the book does open with this pep talk about this celebration of life and a celebration of the individual, which is really, we're all individuals, but we're part of this great mosaic of God's creation. So that was really why the book opened that way.
Well, the way you're talking about the message for your kids, you're actually reminding me of Mr. Rogers' message on his show. Did that at all play into your mind, or is that just a coincidence?
Funny that you say that, because in the beginning it didn't, but then as I was going through final edits, I found this Fred Rogers quote mm-hmm. and thought, I'm going to open the book with it. So and the quote is, if you could only sense how important you are to the lives of those you meet, how important you can be to the people you may never even dream of, there is something of yourself that you leave at every meeting with another person. And I just love that.
Yeah.
And it really just, it fits so well into the book, into the idea of the book.
Absolutely. I'm talking to Gary Janson. His book is called Microshifts, Transforming Your Life One Step at a Time. And in the book, you note that in your own life, you followed the Ignatian call to find God in all things. Why did that teaching of St. Ignatius resonate so much with you?
I think it's just, wow, it all of a sudden, that teaching creates a sense of wonder in our lives. It really does, because if there's garbage on the street, St. Ignatius would say, well, where's God in the garbage,
mm-hmm.
right? We can find God in like sunsets and flowers and times when we feel in love with people and mm-hmm. and the work that we're doing. But what about those times when we're going through the garbage of life, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do we find God in that?
Yeah.
And so that has always been, once I started reading Ignatius and really embracing this Ignatian spirituality of trying to find God in all the good stuff and all the bad stuff too,
mm-hmm.
that was really transformative in my life.
Okay. Has it become easier for you to do that, or is it still a struggle at times to see God in all these different aspects of life?
Yeah, it goes up and down, Tony, but I think that's all just part of life. And
yeah.
I mean, part of the reason why I wanted to write the book is also to kind of draw on this connection of, there is a connection, obviously, between our souls and our bodies and our minds and our psyches and all of that. And sometimes sometimes we just need to get more sleep, or we need to eat, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, we may think that we're having these, like, crazy spiritual struggles, when really, we've only been sleeping 4 or 5 hours, only been getting 4 or 5 hours of sleep a night, and we wonder why we're so on edge, or why we feel so disconnected, you know, from God, from people around us. And sometimes we just need to take a nap, and all of a sudden, we're able to rejuvenate. Now, that doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes, you know, there's just simple physical things that we can do that actually help us to feel closer to God.
Sure. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'm talking to Gary Janssen about his book, Micro Shifts, Transforming Your Life One Step at a Time. Since you brought up the insomnia issue, you deal with that in your book. This is not just a speculative thing for you. This is something you dealt with in your own life, this lack of sleep. Talk a little bit about that and how it affected you, and how changing that habit, making that micro shift, helped you become a better, more healthy person.
So the whole premise behind micro shifts isn't necessarily even creating good habits, but it's really about changing your perception of things. And for a long time, I thought I was going through a very bad depression, that I was suffering through depression.
Mm-hmm.
And that I was struggling through things, or struggling through work, or struggling through life, struggling through my relationships. And I got so tired one day that I actually fell asleep and got 8 hours of sleep. And before that, I was getting 4.5, 5 maybe.
Sure.
And, you know, doctors say you should be getting 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke up the next morning, Tony, and it was as if the angels, were singing to me, and a choir of angelic voices were there going, ah. And I started to think, oh, wait a minute, that just happened because I actually got my recommended amount of sleep. And so I started to really kind of pay attention. And it was that kind of like just shift in, hey, you know what? Maybe doctors are right. Maybe we really should exercise 3 times or 4 times a week. Maybe we really should get 7 to 8 hours of sleep and not read our emails, before we go to bed at night.
Sure. Well, you call it micro shifts, but I also think, we live in this, we think bigger is better culture. And I wonder if people might think, let's make a macro shift instead of a micro shift. Why do you think the micro approach will lead to more success?
One thing is I kind of like small things. Mm-hmm. Like when you go to a hotel and you order room service and they give you that tiny little bottle of ketchup and that little tiny bottle of mustard. I love that, Tony. I just love those things.
Uh-huh.
But I think people get overwhelmed, right? So you can make, a lot of people are unhappy at their jobs and they feel like, I need to leave my job. I need to start over. I need to go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just ask, take a step back. Are there small things that you can do within your job that you can do within your own perception of your job or your own perception of yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Small changes that you can make in the way that you deal with people or the way that you set or the way that you manage time. And I think by doing that, you get a sense of authority, right? Because all of a sudden, like, you're taking action.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to kind of test that and make sure it's the proper action. But I think small changes over time obviously can lead to, like, big results. It's like taking change out and throwing it into, a piggy bank. And at the end of like 2 years, you end up having enough money to put a down payment on a car. Now, you're not even like missing the change, but over time, these things accumulate. And so, making small changes in the way that you live, in the way that you pray, in the way that you communicate with people, in the way that you communicate with God can over time just have, big, big, powerful results.
Sure. Well, how do those micro changes, those micro shifts tie into something you write about in the book called The Power of 1%?
Yeah, sure. So, I've been talking, the power of 1% is something I've been like talking about for years now. And so there's 1,440 minutes in a day.
Mm-hmm.
And we may come from different socioeconomic backgrounds. We may come from different parts of the world, but each of us has 24 hours a day. Each of us has 1,440 minutes. And a lot of times we say that we don't have enough time to do the things that we want or to visit people or to talk to people, that we're always running out of time. But I would challenge that and say, what if you just took like 1% of your day, right? And 1% is 14 minutes and 24 seconds. And I've done the math numerous times to make sure I'm correct. 14 minutes, 24 seconds, so roughly 15 minutes. So, can you pray? Can you set aside, 15 minutes of dedicated time to pray to God in a new way?
Mm-hmm.
Can you spend that 15 minutes with your spouse or your partner, your friend, and just make that a special a special time in your life? Can you exercise for 15 minutes a day if you're not exercising? Can you read Ulysses in 15 minutes a day by James Joyce, right? By the end of the year, you'd be done with it.
Yeah.
You know, you could read the Bible in 15 minutes, and by mm-hmm. the end of the year, that you've accomplished, you know, you've accomplished something phenomenal that most people haven't done.
Sure.
And so the 1% rule for me is something I use every day. Is there, you know, can I become 1% closer to God? Can I become 1% more aware of the people around me?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, again, one of these things that over time just, you know, compounds and has been transformative for me.
Yeah. I'm talking to Gary Janssen. His book is called Micro Shifts, Transforming Your Life One Step at a Time. The one thing inherent in all the answers you're given today, I noticed that there's definitely this body, heart, mind, spirit connection and everything, that they're all tied together. Is that a revelation that has come to you, say, in the recent past, or is it relatively new?
I think it's something that's always been with me, and I mm-hmm. think for a long time I became kind of skittish about it as well, because, you know, there's a lot of like self-help books that talk about mind, body, spirit and all that stuff. And they can sometimes go in a weird direction, but then mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? But look, I mean, we talk about the body of Christ, right? And we talk about our souls. And so, I mean, even when Christ is like performing the Eucharist, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a mind, body, you know, mind, body, soul connection thing going on there.
Yeah.
And so, once I stopped being skittish about it and started embracing it and looking for correlations within my faith, you know, it all started to really kind of like make sense. And,
sure.
And so it's been, you know, it's something that I, you know, firmly believe in, and not just me, but millions
sure.
of other people
yeah.
too. That and you think about it. Think about like if someone tells you like bad news,
mm-hmm.
instantly, you know, your state changes, like your body changes.
Yeah.
Someone can say, you know what, I just lied to you. That didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you revert back. And so within like 10 seconds, you know, you can go through these state changes that affect your body and affect your mind. And sometimes it can be based on a lie. Sometimes it can be based on the truth. But that connection is really, really strong, and one that we can learn to embrace and develop and direct in many ways.
Yeah. Well, one of the things you write about in the book that helps lift body, mind, and spirit, I think you have is a quote. It says, "True success involves helping other people succeed." How have you seen that truth play out in life?
Oh, you know, I really started like looking back at some of the best teachers in my life, you know, whether it was in school or at my job or just in life.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you just, you know, and these were just sometimes friends too, who were just people who said, you know what, I'm here to help you succeed. And if you think about like the greatest teachers that you've had, like maybe there's one teacher that stands out that you went to school with, or maybe it's Mr. Rogers or something. Right?
Yeah.
They were always trying to, they weren't thinking about themselves. They were mm-hmm. really trying to raise you up, you know, and
yeah.
and then there's so many like spiritual, like not comparisons, but correlations you can make to that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as you know, as Jesus is raised up on the cross, you know, we're raised up as well. And so the, you know, this idea of like the most successful people
mm-hmm.
aren't really the ones that kind of, you know, hoard things, but if there's the people who give stuff away and the people who give away their time and give away their energy and give away their inspiration, and they give it to you, and then they become richer in it as well. And we kind of live in a world where, I don't want to say this as a broad general statement, because there's a lot of individual people who are different, but there's a lot of like me in
mm-hmm.
society now.
Yeah.
And you do see like a certain level of maybe financial success that maybe happen, or a certain level of popularity,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know if they're necessarily moving people in their souls, in their heart, in the way they could be if they had changed, right? Another change of perception and decided that, you know what, success is really about giving away success to others and
yeah.
helping others to succeed.
Sure. Well, yeah, I mean, you do a great job in the book of not making it about me. And one of the things that really stood out to me is how you're able to put yourself in another person's shoes. For instance, you write in the book about when you try to imagine the past of a homeless man you see on the subway. How has that approach helped you with the micro shifts in your own life?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that, you know, there was a cantankerous guy who lives in our town he's like the town drunk who gets into everybody's faces,
mm-hmm.
you know, gets in, he can be very aggressive.
Yeah.
And one day, you know, he approached me for money. And I'm like, look, man, I don't have any money on me. Just, you know, and I literally didn't. And, but there was something in his eyes, right? And I had this, I don't want to say it was necessarily a vision, but I did. I had this vision of him as a little boy, right?
Okay.
And thinking, wow, you know, this guy 40, 50 years ago was a little boy. I don't know what happened to him since then.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what, you know, what he went through. I don't know. But at some point, his mom gave birth to him.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, either his mom held him or a nurse held him and showed him love. And maybe he was, you know, a kid that just felt ostracized. Maybe he was in a really, like, bad situation at home. Once I started, like, looking, you know, trying to say, hey, you know what? What if that was me?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And what if he was I in all of this? And all of a sudden there was this kind of, like, just strange back and forth that was really, again, this kind of, like, change in perception.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody out there, no matter how annoying, no matter how crazy, was at one point a child, and there was a lot of hope there.
Yeah.
And at some point, something changed and something happened. And I think, you know, I mean, God calls us to compassion and not necessarily be walked over. And that's one of the things I try to make certain in the book, you know, not asking you to be a doormat to people, but at the same time, there's an opportunity to kind of like take a step back and live with compassion. And I think one of the ways to do that is to kind of imagine people when you're in a situation, this person was a child at some point.
Yeah.
And, you know, and to uplift that, right. And to value that.
Sure. No, I think it's a great ability to do that. I think you have a little bit of the mystic in you, Gary. That's what it sounds like to me.
Thank you, Tony.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Gary Janssen. He is the author of the book Micro Shifts, Transforming Your Life One Step at a Time. He's also the editor of a book called Ave Maria, The Mystery of a Most Beloved Prayer by Pope Francis. So tell us a little bit about this book and your hand in editing it. Why did you want to be involved in this book?
Oh, anytime that there's an opportunity to work with the Pope, I'm all over that, Tony.
Okay.
And so the, you know, last year we had published, so I work at Image Books. I'm the director of Image Books, which is kind of one of the biggest like Catholic imprints, publishing imprints, book imprints in America.
Mm-hmm.
And, the last year we had published, a book called Our Father, real original name by Pope Francis.
Mm-hmm.
And, what it did is unpacked line for line the Lord's Prayer. And I loved working on that book. And when the opportunity came to do the follow-up on the Ave Maria, the Hail Mary, I jumped at it. And so, you know, this book is really, it's a conversation between Pope Francis and Father Poza, who I believe is in Padua in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a conversation between them where, you know, Father Poza is asking the Holy Father questions and he's answering. And the whole objective is really to kind of unpack the Hail Mary for us in a unique and beautiful way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, between the Our Father and both the Hail Mary, I mean, they're both prayers that we can almost say out of rote because they're so much a part of our lives. How do you think this book can lead readers into the prayer's deeper spiritual levels, into paying attention to the words better?
Yeah, thank you so much for saying that, Tony, because that's exactly why I wanted to publish like both books, was that it really does, what I love about these books is that it really does get you to stop and look at the line and look at the words and look at the intent and look at the power of these prayers. And by going through it line by line and having the popes really, you know, like the Pope will admit that he's not, you know, he's not looking to be a literary hero,
mm-hmm.
but what he does so well is he's able to kind of talk just directly to us and with using very, very common language. But the language that he uses is inspiring. And in this book, you know, I mean, just the way he talks about the struggles that Mary had, you know, as the mother to Jesus and showing the correlation between those struggles that we all have is he has this great gift of not necessarily, I don't want to say, where he's able to kind of like bring down lofty ideas and sometimes lofty perceptions that we have of things,
mm-hmm.
and really make them accessible. I don't
yeah.
want to say basic because that's not necessarily it, because when you read his stuff or you read his responses, they're not basic,
mm-hmm.
but he really uses a language that is universal, right? It's
sure.
Catholic.
Right? Yeah.
It's the most, you know, at the most profound level.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a reminder that, Jesus talked to poor fishermen, not just, you know, highly educated religious scholars of the day, and
exactly.
That's how the religion spread, so.
Exactly. You know, none of the apostles had PhDs or worked at universities, you know.
Exactly.
They all worked with their hands and stuff, so.
Has working on the book given you any insight into just maybe how modern folks can learn a little bit more from Mary in general about how to live and how to believe?
Sure. You know, the thing is, coming back to this idea of Ignatian spirituality, Mary is a great opportunity because she was a human and she was a mom, is to be able to kind of use your imagination to engage with her. What I mean like that is to kind of like, you know, I always a picture, you know, like, let's take the rosary, you know, mm-hmm. if you were to like, a lot of times I picture when I pray the rosary that it's Mary sitting next to me and going through a scrapbook, right, of mm-hmm. her son's life.
Okay.
Right. And that's really what it is. She's like, oh, look at this picture. This is a picture when I found out that I was going to have a baby. Mm-hmm. It's a wild story. It's a wild story. And, and she's like, oh, this is the night of like when Jesus was born, and you're not going to believe who showed up, and and then she goes through the entire history of Jesus. And so I like, you know, one of the things that's so great about the book, but also in praying with Mary, is that you have someone who's a lot like us, and you know, having that opportunity to kind of engage with her through our imaginations and to, you know, take common everyday ideas, like the idea of a scrapbook or sitting down with, you know, someone that you love and talking to that person's mom, mm-hmm. right? Because that person knows you're the person that you love more than anybody else in the world,
yeah.
right? Most
yep.
of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the way that we live our lives is very much a way that we can live our lives through Mary. Like we can look at Mary, we can turn to Mary, and it just enhances our lives by being able to kind of bring her into ordinary, yeah. everyday ideas.
Sure. No, it's just a wonderful reminder also that, just because someone lived 2,000 years ago doesn't mean they can't be timely and relevant to our lives. So we get a lot of that from Mary. And I'm talking to Gary Jansen. He's the editor of the Pope Francis book, Ave Maria, The Mystery of a Most Beloved Prayer. And he is the author of the book, Micro Shifts, Transforming Your Life One Step at a Time. Let us shift back to micro shifts, because I just wanted to touch on one other thing, because it seems like sometimes micro shifts from reading your book, they can stem from listening to the voice of God in our lives or following his nudges. But the problem is that we may not always be paying attention to those things. Have you trained yourself to see God's hand in these instances, to pay attention, like, oh, maybe God is trying to tell me something here?
Yeah, and I think definitely. And I think part of that, again, comes back to this idea of Ignatian spirituality, which is constantly asking you, you know, where is God in this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And even if you do the examine is this prayer that you do sometimes in the middle of the day, sometimes at night, where you say, hey, where is God present for me?
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it's something that, look, you know, I could have an experience, and someone who's not, you know, religious or spiritually minded, you know, could have the same experience, and we're going to have two different views of it. We just
mm-hmm.
will, right?
Right.
And so, you know, if you're really concerned, if you're really dedicated to having this relationship with God, then you have to kind of make it a priority. And the priority is one of the ways that I found that it's been helpful to me to make it a priority is to constantly be asking, where's Jesus, you know, where's God in this? Where's Jesus in this?
Sure.
And the other thing too is to just pray the shortest but the greatest prayer ever, which is just to kind of repeat to yourself the name of Jesus over and over again,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, I'll be in a meeting, you know, if someone else is talking and it might not have anything to do with me, and I'll just like tap my heart,
mm-hmm.
and I'll say Jesus's name over and over again.
Okay.
People think I have heartburn, but secretly I'm praying, and I think the more that we can replace kind of the anxiety, the fear, the judgment a lot of times
mm-hmm.
with the name of God, well, there's something. Yeah, there's something beautifully transformative about it.
Yeah, yeah. All right, last question. I want to end the interview with the same way you end the book, Micro Shifts. You dedicate it to your sister, Mary Ann. So tell us, what is so special about Mary Ann? Why did you dedicate this book, Micro Shifts, to her?
Oh, thank you so much for asking that question. So my youngest my youngest sister is named Annie, and she has severe autism.
Okay.
To the point where she really can't communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister Marianne has really spent her life being her caregiver. So she and my mom, that just, you know, their lives essentially revolve around taking care of my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I wrote earlier in the book about, you know, true success is about doing for others, not necessarily doing for yourself, and giving, you know, and giving to others,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was really, you know, I was really kind of thinking about Marianne in
yeah.
that instance, because, wow, I mean, like, you see that the people around you who give their lives for another really are existing and living on a different plane. But at the same time, it's hard work and it's struggle, you know, she struggles and she has difficulties
sure.
and all of that. And I just wanted to, as much as this book was written for my sons, to kind of leave behind something for them, I also wanted to just dedicate it to Marianne to just say, hey, you know what? You know, you are appreciated.
You are seen, which is the message you basically started the book out with. You are unique and you are loved, and it's a wonderful thing. I've been talking to Gary Janssen. His books are called Microshifts, Transforming Your Life One Step at a Time. And also he edited the book Ave Maria, The Mystery of a Most Beloved Prayer by Pope Francis. They're really wonderful books, as you can tell from our interview today. We covered a lot of ground of body, mind, spirit, and really service and Christian witness and coming to see God in all things. So pick up the books Microshifts and Ave Maria. And Gary, thanks so much for joining us today to talk about it.
Thank you, Tony. God bless.
Now, before we end today's show, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
In the Bible, Jesus tells us, love your neighbor as yourself. But the truth is that some people find it difficult to love themselves, and they don't fully believe that God loves them either. That's why the Christophers have prepared a news note called Accepting That God Loves You. It includes stories and insights that will open your mind and heart to the belief that the Creator of the universe actually cares about every single one of us, no matter what mistakes we've made in the past. To request your free copy of Accepting That God Loves You, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.